So today we are looking at agape.
Ah!
Glory! Agape. Praise God. The God kind of love. You know, this month we've been studying love. And don't worry, very soon we'll start talking about marriage and dating and relationship. But this period, let's learn about the love of God. Because it is from the love of God that you get this other love. If you don't get it right in the love of God, this other part will suffer. Praise God. So you must get it right with God. Praise God. Please, I would plead with us, pay attention. This message will bless you. And it will help every area of your life. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because as we look at your word, we are changed, we are built up, we are edified, we are corrected in every angle. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. So someone may wonder, why do we study love so much? You know, on Sunday, how many of you were blessed in Sunday service? It was powerful, both in Port Harcourt, in Lagos, and in Abuja. It was so powerful that the devil began to misbehave. But God passed him. Praise God. The service went smoothly. And we've been having testimonies. Somebody sent me a message yesterday and said, man, that job we prayed for. I just received it. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. So, because when she called me, she was crying. I've tried like this. And I said, see, we have prayed in church that this year we will not try 10 times to get it. We have prayed and it will happen. And then she sent a message. You could see the excitement. If she was close to me, she would have carried me. But thank God she was not close to me in the name of Jesus. So I was really happy that God did that for her. And God will also do it for you. In the name of Jesus. So, you may ask, why are we studying love so much? First of all, have you ever heard the statement that says, you become what you eat? What it means is that the more you give yourself to something, the more that thing influences you. So if you hear something over and over and over and over, that thing begins to influence your life. Whether you accept it or you don't accept it. Something happened recently. Somebody bought a gift for me. And I actually liked the gift. But somebody else just came and she was talking. Say, no. It's like this. The thing is like this. It's not supposed to be like this. Me that was excited. I just started feeling bad all of a sudden that it's true. This thing is not supposed to be like this. So I just, as if the Lord woke me up like, don't be like that. So I was like, Lord, I'm sorry. Have mercy on me. So you see that opinions, the things you hear consistently can influence you. Praise God. It can affect your life. So we must be careful of what we hear. And this even happens both spiritually. This is why we repeat these sermons over and over so that it sticks to you and it influences your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. That is why the Bible says, keep your heart, guard your heart with all diligence. Guard it. Because anything that enters your heart, it can become an action. You can start acting that way because that thing is already in your heart. Have you ever been in a situation where you were pretending? Maybe you didn't like something, it was inside, but you were like, let me just act like I like it. And the person you were actually acting it to was reading your actions. And the person got it that this is what is in this person's heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. Because out of it are what? The issues of life. Praise God. Remember when we said faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you hear those words, when you hear the message of faith, you hear the message of love, it begins to birth faith in your heart. Whatever you hear will birth faith in your heart. Praise God. Praise God. Whatever you hear consistently will build faith in your heart. Praise God. And the word of God, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more you keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it, you are betting faith. Meaning that if you are hoping to see something in your life, what do? Keep hearing it. Keep hearing it until the substance is formed. Until faith is bettered in your heart. Sometimes you can see somebody, a person is not feeling fine, and the person begins to hear the message on healing, begins to read on healing. Before you know, the person jacks up one day, and the person is like, I cannot be sick. At that particular moment, even if that thing is still showing on the person's body, in the spirit realm, it had been concluded that that person cannot be sick. Because that substance has already been formed and you can't change it. So you just need to give that person time for that substance to manifest. So you keep hearing the word of God. Keep hearing it. Don't stop hearing it. Praise God. Until it births faith, until it births substance in your heart. In the same way, when you see the character of love in our lives, we need to hear about it again and again. Maybe you don't see the character of love in your life. It means that, you need to go back to brush up again in the word of God. Hallelujah. So I said, firstly, the reason why we study about love is because what you hear, you become. Praise God. Do we understand that? What you hear, you become. So as you hear more about love, as you listen to the message of love, you read about the love of God, you know about the love of God, before you know, you become this person that just emanates love. Do you understand? So that's one of the reasons why we must learn about love. Secondly, the word of God is our very nature. Glory! Say with me, the word of God is my very nature. The word of God is my very nature. Glory! So the word of God is our nature. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So we were born by the word incorruptible seed. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Glory! So the word of God gave birth to us. And the Bible tells us that this word is an incorruptible seed. Praise God. So you see that the reason why we study faith, or we study love rather, is because the word of God is our very nature. Whatever we see in the word of God that is properly explained, we must pick it up and apply it in our lives. Praise God. We could see that this is also the revelation of our identity. The word of God explains who we are. Who we truly are. So when you begin to look at the word of God, it reveals who you are. It helps you to become who God has truly made you to be. Have you been in a situation where you read the word of God so much and you stood up with so much joy? That's who you are. You are a man of joy. A woman of joy. So the world was only pointing you to this, that this is who you are. Sometimes you read the word and you feel so much peace. Sometimes you finish reading the word and you feel like, man, I can move mountains. There is no demon I cannot cast out. The word of God is just mirroring it to you that this is what you can do. This is who you are. This is your identity. Say with me, it's my identity. It is my identity. Praise God. So you see how beautiful the word of God does it for us. I love God for what he does in our lives. Yes, repeat it after me. I love God for what he does in my life. Let's see our first scripture. 1 John 4 verse 7. By now we should know the scripture, right? Because we've been repeating it over and over. You must love, you must love in New Breed in the name of Jesus. 1 John 4 verse 7. Can we read it together? 1, 2, go. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth, born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Glory! On Sunday, I was trying to explain to our guys in Lagos that God did not see any other thing to wrap himself into. He said he is love. That means this matter of love is too important. God says he is love. For God is love. God breathes love. He talks love. Everything that God does is love. Let's read that scripture again. It says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. Love is of who? Is he of the devil? Love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So that means if you are not loving, is a proof that you don't know God. Is a proof that the bank of God, which is love, is low in your life. So you need to go and charge it. That power bank is going flat. You need to go and charge. See, I want to make us see that love is too important. Love, it is. See, the Bible tells us that all the commandments in the Bible is summed up in one thing called love. So if you are perfect in love, the Bible says that you are perfect in every other thing. That is how important love is. If you are perfect, if you can get this right, you are done. Praise God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. It says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Brethren, if you don't know how to love, there's something wrong. God is the origin of love. And remember we said we are born of God. That means we are born of love. And the character of God is love. So if we are born of love, our character is also supposed to be what? Love. No wonder when you read the Bible, you see everywhere, love the brethren, love the brethren, love the brethren, love your sister, love your brother. That's because any church that abides in love, the devil cannot break in. It is difficult for the devil to break into a church that has love. There's a scripture that is sweeting me to just say now, but I'll be patient. Praise God. Hope we are following. So you see that the subject of love, it is too important. If you're truly born again, you will be a person of genuine love. And you see how the scripture is just pointing it out. If you don't love, you don't know God. That should even make you scared. If you don't love, you don't know God. Oh, shakapala that oh shikipi. No wonder Jesus said in Matthew 5 that when you come to the altar with a gift and you remember that you had an issue with your brother, Jesus said, drop that gift. Go back and settle with that brother before you come back to do whatever you are doing. See, love relationship between brethren, it is too important in the sight of God. The love relationship between the both of us, between myself and Pastor Wisdom or anybody in the church, God values it. God wants us to work on it. So if you come to church and you are praying, and there's an offense in your heart, the Bible says, drop it first. Drop that thing first before you do any other thing. I'm here again to shoot you, Abby. Oh, God. Don't worry. I'm not just doing it that, like, I just want to do it. I'm doing it because I love us. Praise God. I think we should see that scripture. Matthew 5, verse 23. I'll just read through it fast. It says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come again and offer thy gift. That is why the Bible tells us here that let us love one another. Love your brethren. Love your brother in the faith. Love your sister in the faith. Beloved, let us love one another. Praise God. You know, these are strong statements that carry strong implications. Let us love one another. Because love is of God. Love is of God. Everyone who loveth knoweth God. I want to draw something out of this. You know, many times, believers don't know that there are times where you can be seeking, maybe you're praying or you are seeking for answers. Maybe there's no fire in whatever you're doing. And you're like, ah, God, but I'm praying, I'm doing this. Check it. It could be that your love bank has gone low. Because Jesus said, if you brought that to the altar, go back and settle. It could be that you are carrying hurts in your heart, and that is not allowing you to grow spiritually. It is hindering your growth. Because the Bible tells us that we sharpen ourselves as believers. Somebody can be going through one thing or the other, only for you to just meet a believer and say, can we hold hands together and pray? And you feel like, where have I been since? Has that ever happened to you? Has it ever happened to you before? That's why you see that when you come in the gathering of believers, it seems like you pray more. Ah, you can pray 10 hours, 100 hours, but only for you to go back to pray alone. You're like, ah, God. Can I just finish and leave this place? Because when believers gather, we are bringing something to the table. This one is receiving, this one is giving, this one is receiving. Grace is being poured out. Grace is being received. No believer should ever look down on any believer. Because the Bible tells us that even the least is greater than John the Baptist. Even the least of the believers now. So never you, in the name of Jesus, as long as that person is born again, never you look down on that person. Because you don't even know where God will help you from. You don't even know where God will begin to raise you from. You know, many times, because of what has happened in the church, people are now scared to share their problems or share what they are going through with their fellow sisters and brothers, because they are scared that, I might just enter the church one day now and everybody's like, Nashi. See, she done the pass, Nashi. And then when you are trying to look at them, they will not do like this. Everybody's just scared. That's the plan and the lies of the devil. Do you know that when you open up to believers, you heal faster? When you open up, the Bible says, confess your sins one to another. But the Bible, the devil makes you feel like if you open up, they will abuse you. Not a new breed. In the name of Jesus. I've been in situations whereby I was going through a challenge and I just called a sister. And I'm like, can we pray? And I felt like I was breathing again. See, we are one of another. We help ourselves. We are like circles in the spirit. As this one is supplying, this one is receiving. As this one is supplying, this one is receiving. That is how God has made us. That's why Paul says, if all of us were an eye, how are we going to talk? How are we going to hear? Every believer is important in the kingdom of God. Praise God. So next time when you feel that burden, trust a believer to help you out of it. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. So you see how love, God esteems love. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Say after me. Lord Jesus, your love overflows in me. Your love overflows in me. To everyone around me. Your love overflows in me. Ah, Shakapa. Your love overflows in me. To everyone around me. In the name of Jesus. You know, there was a time that the prayer of love was really my prayer. We had 10 hours one time and I knelt down in the classroom and I was praying. I was like, God, Lord, help me love. Lord, help me love. That when people come around, no matter how it is, they would know that, ah, she loves me. And I prayed that prayer and I cried and I said, God, I want to be a person of love. I want to be a person that emanates love. Have you ever met people before that even with their hello, you feel like, oh, can I come and live with you? Because they are just so sweet. That's my prayer. And that should also be your prayer. That when you meet sinners, they're like, no, this one is a Christian. I can feel the love of God coming out. Praise God. I can feel the love of God coming out of this person. Say this prayer again with me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, your love overflows in me. Your love overflows in me. To everyone around me. To everyone around me. In the name of Jesus. Glory. Let's see a scripture. 1 John 4 verse 9. We'll read to 11. In this was manifested the love of God towards us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. That we might live through him. Herein is love. Read with me. 1, 2, go. Verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Glory! Do you know what's happening here? Do you know what's happening here? There's a comparison. What word do I use? There's an example of how our love should be. That's what's happening here. First, it says we couldn't love ourselves. But God had to find a way. And we couldn't even love God. I think that's the better rendering. We couldn't love God. But God had to find a way that we can love him. And he can also show us that love. God is a spirit. We can't see him. Remember in the Old Testament, when God appears, you know that video that says, run. That's what used to happen. The Bible tells that his voice is like thunder. The children of Israel could not go close to the mountain because they would die. The glory of God was so much that even when Moses begged and said, "Let me see your face," God said, "No man can see my face and live." That was what God said. And God said, "Don't worry, okay, since you have begged too much, I will pass. And then I will hide you by the cliff, and then you will only see my back." Oh God. And this is the God that came for us. He didn't want to come as that God so that you don't see him and you are scared. He had to put himself inside a body. You know, let me use an example. We have pen, Bic. What makes that pen important is the ink inside. If you leave the ink, it will overflow everywhere and it might even cause damage. But Bic was like, okay, how do we show them our love? And how do we receive their love too? Let's put it inside a container. Let's give it. What is it called? Ballpoint. Oh, Pastor Wisdom is so wise. Glory! That's why he's called Wisdom. Ballpoint. So they're like, if this thing is coming out from the ballpoint, it will serve the purpose. Do you understand me? That was what God did. God is like, if I come as God, things go happen. Things, even bad things and good things go happen. So let me just respect myself and put myself somewhere to serve the purpose. So he put himself into Christ and called himself Son so that he could show you the love. He could show me the love. That was how he could do it. And then the Bible tells us that when Jesus came to the earth, he was not pointing out their transgression. He was on duty trying to save man from their sins. The Bible tells us that he died to rescue us. He gave his blood. He sacrificed for us. So now the Bible is telling us in this passage that if God did that, even when we did not merit it, so this is how we should pay it back to our fellow believers. There are times where believers will make you angry. Have you met angry people? Have you met annoying people? Oh my God. Have you met annoying people? Child. But the Bible is telling us that you shouldn't act like the way the world behaves. God so loved us that he gave himself. So we also must love the brethren. We also must love ourselves. Because that love that God has put on the inside of us must overflow. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. So if you have the Spirit of God on the inside, you will love. But sometimes, even when the Holy Spirit is pulling it out of you, I will show him. And the Spirit of God is that, even myself, I'm trying to help you. See the way you are behaving. God, they try to be God. God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God is saying, the way I have loved you, love the brethren that way. People will annoy you, but don't put it to your heart. An offense that has happened 2 weeks, you are still holding it in your mind. And you think that your prayer will ascend. It's not true now. You are holding the grudge so much that it's paining you. You know, there's something I always tell myself. Don't use the past of somebody to judge his present. Because God is working with every one of us every day. Somebody can offend you last 3 weeks. And then you'd see the person today. And you're using that thing to still follow that person. There's something wrong. You don't even know. That person might have even prayed to God and moved on. And you are still behind with the hurt and pain. So we must love ourselves perfectly. Just as God loved us perfectly. It wasn't easy for God. It wasn't easy for God, actually, because Jesus said, if this cup could pass, it wasn't easy, but he had to do it. So also, it will not be easy, but you have to do it. Praise God. I don't want to dwell so much here because of our time. So you see that he uses God's love for mankind as the template or the pattern with which we should love ourselves. This is serious. God's love, which is called agape, is the pattern of our love for one another. Glory!
Glory!
So what's the pattern of our love for one another? God's love. God's love is the pattern that we must copy to love one another. Hallelujah. So I want us to look at some of the characteristics of God's love as revealed in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, we'll read from verse 1 to 5. It says, though I speak with the language of men and of angels and have not charity. Remember we said King James says charity, but what actually is there is what? Love. Though I speak with the language of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Oh God. 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains and have not love, I am not in Jesus. 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 Imagine having all this and the Bible is telling you that you are nothing. No, you are not. I'm not saying you are nothing. But the man who does not love is nothing. He says, if you like prophesy, if you like pray in tongues, if you anything you want to do, but you don't have love, he says, that man is what? Nothing. I don't know if you saw it though. Let me read it again. Verse 2, let's read it together. Want to go. And though I have the gift of prophecy, yes, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could move mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. It says there is no gain, there is no reward. There is no reward for the man who does a lot of things and has no love. Politicians do a lot of things, Abi, but do they love you? They will share palliative, they will do all manner of things just to win election. They are giving out things, Abi. But the Bible is saying in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods, even if you see somebody that is dashing people things, giving people things, and it does not have love, it says it profited nothing. Are you seeing the seriousness of this message of love? It is too important. It is very serious. So when you are not loving, you are endangering yourself and your faith. You are in a very dangerous place when you are not loving. Praise God. Verse 4 says, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Can you see the characters of love? Ah, love endures. That's what it means that it suffered long. It endures. It is kind. Love vaunted not itself. It does not boast in a way that it brings other people down. Remember when our listener was telling us about it? That there are some people that, if they have not made you feel bad and make themselves feel like, I'm bigger than everybody in this place, they've not started. They walk into their place and they feel like, I should be noticed. Every other person is nothing. That's not love. He says, love is kind. Oh, love is patient. Love suffereth long. Love envieth not. Love envieth not. This person is making progress. And then, bad belle has started. You better pray against it too. Because where you are, you better pray. Because there's one saying that when God is in your neighborhood, is what? It means that your own miracle is very close. So the best thing is not to envy that person. is to love and appreciate God for that person. Praise God. He says, love envieth not. It vaunted not itself. It vaunted not itself. It does not go and scatter everything everywhere. I know they agree. And so it go police cell. Calm down and let God help you. He say, no. I must show them who I am. And then, you don't even know. The next time, you can show them who you are again. Do you understand? Love is kind. Praise God. Love is not puffed up. Love is not proud. Oh, verse 4 and 5 in NLT. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Now I'm correcting you. That's not love. Love is not rude. It does not demand its own way. You know, some people, they are loving you at a particular time because there's something they will benefit from that thing. Anything will come out. I did there. As long as something will come out. He say, when money day, friend go day. When money no day, friend go go. I bind it in your life. In the name of Jesus. It's not for believers. The Bible tells us that a friend sticketh even more closer than a brother. You should come to a point where you have believers that strengthens you, strengthens your faith. You know, this period when my husband was not around, I see love. I wanted to start begging. Please now, reduce this love small. I beg. I see love like this. You know when you just look at somebody and say, why this person love me like this? It's something else. Sometimes I'm in school and somebody's like, oh, Princess Zoe is still in school. Can I, like, somebody's already thinking of going to pick her. I say, God, it's love, Thank you, Jesus. So that's how it should be with believers. You should have a situation whereby you go to a believer's house and you are not scared that something will happen to you. That's love. A girl visits a boy and they're like, no, let's stay outside and discuss. There's a problem. That place is dark. Of course, you should not stay in a dark place in the name of Jesus. But be safe as a believer with other believers. That's love. A brother should protect the sister. A sister should protect the brother. You don't seek for your own good only. That's not what the Bible teaches us. Even the Bible tells us of the fellowship that they went from house to house. From house to house. Praise God. You know, we are teaching this because we want the culture to change. And we want it to be better in the house of God. Praise God. Love is not rude. It is not irritable. It keeps no record. Shabalabada. It keeps no record of being wronged. That thing that you did to me that time, may I just respect myself for? If I go talk now say that, I don't come. Are you serious? I thought you said you are forgiving me. It is possible to forgive and forget. It is very possible. You know, there are times in my house that my husband will do something and it will pain me like this. And then he will not come and apologize. He will say sorry and apologize. And I'm like, okay, we are good, we are fine. I'm telling you the honest truth. If you ask me tomorrow or next tomorrow, come and explain word by word. He now said this. She now said, I tell you, I can't narrate the story. Because in my mind, that thing has gone. When you forgive somebody, truly forgive. I'm serious. When you forgive, when you tell somebody, I forgive you. I have let go of this. Let it be true between heaven and earth that you are forgiving that person. And even when the devil, yes, I know, the devil tries to make you feel like, this thing. See, that is why you must fight for that thing that God has put in your heart. You must fight for it. You must let the devil know that, no, I am not that kind of person that keeps on forgiveness. You must tell yourself, I am loving. I am loving. I forgive easily. I forgive easily. I move on easily because greater things are ahead. Greater things are ahead. I don't hold on to the things around me. I shall not be stuck. In the name of Jesus, how important it is when you tell a brother, I forgive you, truly forgive the person. And when you see that person, don't act in a way that, oh, that thing you did that time. No, don't be like that. You know, I was sharing with somebody in church. I mentioned the brother's name to her. I said, see, if I wanted to keep grudge with somebody in this church, it is this brother. Because what? Brother was God. But by the word and prayer, we kept praying and we kept loving him. Do you know there are so many people that stays in church? They get planted in church because of the love you showed them. Do you know that? Somebody came for service one day, and because of how everybody just loved you and embraced you, and like, oh, I just want to stay. I just want to serve God. And just because of that one action, God is doing something in the life of that person. That's to tell you how important love is. So the devil fights very hard to break that love circle. See now, she has done something. And he has done something. Ah, no grief. If there's anything you must not grieve for, it's not that kind. It's not no grief for your sister, no grief for your brother. Stop that nonsense. No, the one you should say no grief for is Satan. No grief for the devil. No grief for say, you know they pray. You are not studying the word. That's the things you should no grief for. I watched a video that someone was saying, no grief, oh, no grief. And he was in front of heaven's gate. I think it was a trailer that was trying to move and he was on the bike or keke or something. And she was like, you know, go come off a road, come off a road. And the guy was like, I don't go grieve for anybody this year. And we saw the way they rubbed his face, his white chalk. And he was wearing white gown and he was in front of me. Please, if you are following them to say no grief, make sure you know the things that you are not grieving for. In the name of Jesus. Before you put yourself into trouble. The place where you're supposed to close your mouth, you say, I don't go grieve. You go and talk and lose your job. Don't come and cry. Pastor, pray. Pastor, do this. You better repent now in the name of Jesus. Praise God. So I'm trying to show you the way of love. Love does not keep hearts. Love forgives and moves on. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want us to see. Okay, this means that God's love in us will make us polite. Ah, shakapala dada. God's love in us will make us polite. It will make us open to listen to other people. Some people, it is too hard to correct them. You can't point their wrongs to them and they pick it and move on. It is very difficult. They must find something to hold on to. To make you feel like you were wrong for correcting them. You cannot just tell them the truth. Say, oh, sister, why did you do this? It's because I do like this now. That's why. That's a very bad place to be. Be open to correction. Let people correct you and help your life. Some people excuses here and there is not a way of love. Praise God. Be a person that opens up to listen to other people. And you won't try to always repeat or remember the wrongs that have been done to you. Ah. Shakapala da 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 da. I want us to see a scripture. Proverbs 29 verse 22. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. For the Bible to even call that person an angry man, Jesus. An angry man stirreth up strife. Stirreth up strife. Something that is supposed to be settled in just 1 minute or 1 hour. Because that person is still angry, the matter will keep on repeating and repeating. And at the end of the day, everybody is hot. Everybody is angry. Everybody is in pain. Something that would have been avoided from the beginning. I'm sorry. We are good. We move on. But no, you shouldn't have done this. You start explaining yourself and re-explaining yourself and re-explaining yourself. And before you know, the whole environment, the whole atmosphere has changed. An angry man stirreth up strife. An angry man. The word here, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. What is trying to tell you about this transgression is that a man who acts in this way, there are many things that he will not be good at in his life. Transgressions. He will always fall into problems. Things will always happen because he's a furious man. In a place where he's supposed to talk calmly to somebody and build relationship that will help him for the future. Because he's a furious man, he scatters the relationship and nobody can help him. Nobody can lift him up when he is down because he's a furious man. He does not know how to build relationship. He does not know how to communicate because everything, he scatters it. A relationship that is supposed to take time to build. He does not know when to say, I am sorry, let us move on. But he always wants to hold on to that thing. And before you know, his steps are stagnated. In the spirit, he's supposed to be in level 10. But because of that furious attitude, he's in level 2. Because he has scattered and he has hurt all the people that are supposed to help him and lift him up. A furious man. Oh, shakapaladada. This is the character of an angry man. Anger is not of God. There are many times where I catch myself angry. And I'm like, God, help me. Praise God. Praise God. Let's see the last scripture for the day. Proverbs 17, verse 19. So this year, if you're the kind of person that gets angry easily or that scatters things easily, work on it. Because you don't know who can help you. You don't know who will lift you up. You don't know who will tell somebody about you. Do you know that people recommend other people to things? Yes, people recommend. But if a person is that, you will never want to recommend such kind of a person. Say, I may not go to that company now. Come for my hands. Come spoil the relationship where I don't build with this man since. And you don't know that you have missed something. Because of your character. Because of your attitude. You have missed a place that you are supposed to be. Praise God. An angry man stirreth up strife. So this year we must work on it. We must work on our characters to be where God wants us to be. In the name of Jesus. Proverbs 17 verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Do you know what this means? There are times where somebody will hurt you. It will so pain you, but for the sake of your love relationship, you will calm down on the way you treat that person. For the sake of the love that the both of you are building, you will calm down on how you treat that person. You're like, if I shout now, if I do this now. See, when you respond when you are angry, sometimes what you are saying is not the way you are supposed to say it. And most of the times, you can't take back your words. That's the bad thing about anger. You can't take back that thing you have just poured to that person. And the person tire. No evidence. So why not pick up wisdom when you are angry? You don't speak. You don't talk anyhow when you are angry. You calm down. When you find peace in your heart, you can now call that person and you're like, this thing where you do that time, I was not so cool with it. And the person is like, you know, most of the times, the person, what you might even take, calm down and explain himself. What I actually meant was not what you are saying. It's not what I said. No, this was, and in your mind, you're like, thank God I did not shout to. It has happened several times in my marriage. My husband is saying A, me I'm thinking B. Me I'm saying A, him is thinking B. Only for us to now calm down and talk about it, you're like, is that what you were? Are you serious? That was what you were? I'm so sorry. I didn't. And you find out the both of you were actually seeking your good. But it was just a misunderstanding. Misunderstandings can be sorted out without shouting, anger, pouring out insults, losing relationship that God is doing. Every day you come to church and you're praying, oh God, and last hour miracle. And you don't know that you have scattered the last hour miracle. I'm serious. You don't even know. You don't know that even that close friend that the both of you are laughing together can connect you, can do something in your life. So you must value every relationship you have. You must value it. Like something happened yesterday. I was I was talking to Pastor Wisdom. I was very down, and Pastor Wisdom came and he prayed for me and strengthened me and everything. He was on a call. And I said something. And the lady on the call was like, "Hey, is that this one?" Pastor Wisdom was like, "You calm down now." And then when I met her, I had to like, that was not what I was saying, no. I just did not want to go to the hospital. So I was finding corner way to help myself. So you see that there are times where you can say something, but the intentions are different. Say with me, I'm a woman of love. I'm a man of love. I'm a woman of understanding. I am a man of understanding. I'm full of wisdom. I'm full of wisdom. I treasure God's relationship for me. I treasure God's path for me. And I will keep it. I will keep it. In the name of Jesus. Glory! So it says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Separated very friends. The quarrel every time, before you know, friendship has scattered. Have you learned something today? Have you learned something today? Will you work on your relationship? Will you work on your love attitude? Will you value every believer that comes your way? In the name of Jesus. Can you be on your feet? I want you to just pray for yourself in the next few minutes.